Hi, attainable listeners. Today, we have a quick interview with Aaron Zakis, founder of Sundara Fund. In 2013, Aaron saw firsthand the hygiene practices or lack of hygiene practices of another community in a country far away from her home in the U.S. Instead of thinking about our country's differences, Aaron took fast action. And that action changed the course of her life and now the lives of 250,000 people today and counting. Through Aaron's hard work, the Sundara Fund has created impact in more areas than most 501c3s can ever imagine aspiring to. Sundara's sustainable business model generates not only social impact in health and hygiene, community education, and leadership jobs for women. The fund also generates environmental impact by focusing on strategic business partnerships in the local areas they support that in turn cuts their transportation costs and minimizes businesses' waste for others' healthy long-term gain. This said, it is no surprise that Aaron was named on Forbes' 30 Under 30 list this year in 2019. This is quite a feat. We are sending you a big congrats, Aaron. So today, between her busy schedule, Aaron talks to us about Sundara's mission, the uncharted journey she has had, and how Sundara has generated more impact than she could have ever imagined by boosting the health of individuals, boosting the health of our planet, and creating powerful connections along the way. Without further ado, let's go. Aaron?
Yes.
Hi. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Amy. Thanks so much for having me.
We're so excited to chat with you today. Did you know Sundara Fund would have so much impact across so many areas when you got started?
There's this saying that if you knew how hard it was, you would have probably never started. I think they apply that to having a kid, starting a business, building a house, whatever it is. And I certainly never knew how far we would come. We have 40 full-time employees right now.
Wow. And
we work across several countries. But I think it's also been a labor of love. And I've been so lucky to meet really great people who are perhaps even more dedicated than I am to this mission along the way. So it certainly hasn't been a solo effort.
What empowered you to start?
The moment that I had that was quite pivotal is 7 years ago, I was living on the border of northern Thailand with Myanmar. I was there working for a nonprofit that does outreach work with children who are at risk of being trafficked. And we would go into schools and I would never see any sort of soap. We would be invited to eat at these people's homes and there was never any soap. And so one day I went to the town next door and I bought out their supply of soap and I just brought it to the students and I said, here you go, now wash your hands. And I just watched while these students were sort of in awe and they took the bars of soap and unwrapped them and some of them put the soap on their heads and some of them tried to eat it and a lot of them just scratched at it like it was some foreign substance. It was just this like very alien-like moment. And I remember thinking, how could I have lived my entire life without thinking about soap even once? I was 23 at that point. And these people had lived their entire lives without it. And it wasn't just the cleanliness factor. We all know that we should be washing our hands at the most important times of the day, after we use the bathroom, before we eat. But the reality is washing hands does save lives. And every year, 2 million children are dying because of diarrhea and pneumonia and things that could be prevented just with clean water and soap and regular washing of hands at critical times. So I realized that this wasn't just a vanity moment. This was something that could really save the lives of children in need. And I thought to myself, well, there must not be enough soap in the world. That's why this problem persists. But I did a little bit of research, and it turns out there's actually enough soap for 11 billion people in the world. But rather, it's a problem of connecting the waste to the need. So I founded Sundara as a way to do that. So we take soap that's used and disposed of from the hospitality industry. You know, we've all been into hotels and seen a bar of soap that we use once, and then the next day it's replaced with a brand new bar of soap.
Does that soap go?
Totally. And it goes into landfills, unfortunately. But there are a few organizations like Sundara that are repurposing or upcycling the waste. And so we work with bar soap, and we also work with liquid soap and shampoo and plastic toiletry bottles to chemically reprocess the soap and distribute it to communities where people are living on $1.70 or less a day, because it's deemed at that point that they do not have excess income to purchase necessities beyond food, water, and shelter.
For their health benefit.
Yeah.
So totally. Right. Yeah.
One thing that I'm very proud of is that we hire women who are widows, survivors of domestic violence, and single mothers, and we give them a fair wage and health insurance and benefits for that job. And not only are they the ones who are collecting the soap and repurposing it, but they also become trained as community hygiene ambassadors, and they train their community members focusing on children on hand washing, menstrual hygiene, body hygiene, things like that.
That's amazing. Did you, when you were coming up with the business model and just the way that your fund would work, did you feel like there were these areas that you wanted to help support, and learning how you could do that through this fund and have so much impact? Was that also at the core and the original concept?
It was a very organic process. Certainly the way we started is not the way we are 7 years later. We've had to make a lot of difficult decisions along the way. So we do prioritize environmentalism, and we also prioritize fair wage jobs, but that sort of impedes our progress in our ability to grow, right? Because if we are trying to pay these women three times the local wage, we are not able to hire as many people. And if we are prioritizing not using chemicals that are toxic for the environment, that limits how much soap we are able to produce. So like anything, it's really a give and take. And we try to hold a few core values central to our mission as we grow. But of course, we've stumbled a lot along the way, and it's always been a growing and a learning process.
I read that when you were getting your start and looking for your hospitality hotel partners, it was a bit of a struggle to get hotels on board at first. I'm curious about that, and what were their concerns or initial reactions to this ask and this partnership that you were proposing?
Yeah, of course. I think that most people, when I first moved to Mumbai to pilot out the project, were very skeptical because they just saw this foreign white woman from America who was asking for their trash. And I think that in India, like in many countries, people are fearful of getting sued or having a lawsuit against them. A lot of companies are, especially in the hospitality sector. And there have been some high profile cases where where hotels have been sued for something like this. So I do understand their skepticism. And I also think that I walked into a foreign country just assuming that people would trust me and that I have good intentions. But the reality is that there are some people out there who just don't. And so I realized that it is slow. It's a slow process to earn someone's trust, but I can be okay with that. And it took a lot of pounding pavement and asking and being unreasonable to get hotels to give me their trash, even though I wasn't asking, even though I wasn't demanding any money, I was just demanding trash. And in the end, I was actually able to secure through a friend of a friend, which is great. And once we had one hotel that was on board and recycling their soap with us, it was much easier to get like many other brands in on it, especially the big brands.
Yeah, it only takes one sometimes, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, and just you need that. That one is so challenging to get, but it's great when that happens and then you can just continue on with your mission.
Yeah, for sure.
You used to live very superficially where material things were really important to your overall well-being and lifestyle. How has your life changed since the conception of Sundara and really what you now hold as important to your well-being and environment?
I think it's very different when you start living from a purpose-driven place as opposed to just letting life happen to you. I talk a lot about being the author of your life and choosing how you behave in any sort of moment. We all have the choice to turn in to the other with love and support and compassion and understanding, whether it's someone in India or a homeless person on the subway in our daily commute, or we have the option to turn away from that. And I think that when you're living a very purpose-driven life, life looks a little bit differently. And in some ways it's very difficult. I wasn't able to accumulate the wealth that my friends working in tech were. And it's hard to go against the social trends and not value yourself by the amount of money that's in your bank account. But on the other hand, I do feel a connection to something much bigger than myself. And I think that's something that all humans yearn for, whether we find that in religion or family or just connecting to something much bigger than ourselves. I'm so fortunate to have that as my 9-to-5, to the point that it doesn't even feel like a 9-to-5 because I feel like I'd be doing this work for free. So that's been a real joy. I think another thing that's important to me is realizing that so many people invested in me and took a chance on me for me to be able to stand here and talk to you today about the work that we do, that it's also important that I give that opportunity back to other people. So whether that is giving mentorship or teaching classes about everything that I've learned along the way, or investing in startups and social businesses and other nonprofits, I do think that I have a real responsibility to return the favor to the next set of social entrepreneurs. And so I think that is something that I carry forward with me as a real obligation in this line of work.
You're living for something different and bigger.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our final question, what is one action our listeners can take with them to be more sustainable in their daily lives today?
It's important that we realize that we as consumers have the power to vote with our dollars, and we are choosing when we stay at hotels, when we shop at malls, when we go out to eat. We're choosing the world we want to live in. So make the choice to prioritize the environment and whatever else is important to you with every dollar that you spend. You're staying at a hotel that is changing their amenities nightly, you should talk to the hotel manager or someone at the front desk about their practices and encourage them to be more environmentally friendly.
Great advice. Awesome, Erin. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Chat with you soon.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye.
What an incredible journey Erin has had, and she is just getting started. By boosting health for children and families in communities that live off of less than $2 a day, Erin has created a sustainable business model that supports healthy living, empowers women, and takes usable soap out of the landfill, giving it back to communities who need it most. Erin empowers us to vote with our dollars by supporting brands, organizations, products, and nonprofits whose work supports our interests, especially when it comes to the health of our environment. Erin is an inspiration to entrepreneurs across the globe, and especially those who want to double down on their impact and create multiple ways to help our society and our planet at the same time. If you'd like to learn more about the Sundara Fund, Erin's upcoming projects, and to donate to furthering the impact Sundara has worldwide, visit sundarafund.org. That's SundaraFund.org. You can also find and follow Sundara Fund on Instagram and Facebook at Sundara_Fund. Let's all take a moment to think about how we can use our dollars to support sustainable brands, environmentally conscious businesses, and people like Erin who are making big waves with positive impact in their life's work. So let's go. Let's start by breaking a bad habit to help our planet together.